Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the perfect example of what it is to honor father and mother. He submitted himself to Joseph and Mary when he was young. The Bible says he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. He cared about Mary when she was older, even when he himself was dying on the cross. The Bible says when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Of God his Father in heaven, Jesus declared, I honor my Father. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, meaning his Father in heaven. But the Lord Jesus didn't only say that. When it was difficult for Jesus to honor his Father in heaven, because his Father's will was for him to suffer cruelly, he prayed to his Father for help in facing it, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Then receiving that help for which he had prayed, our Lord Jesus continued perfectly to honor the Father to such an extent that he humbled himself and became obedient to God the Father, even unto death, and even unto the torturous, cruel death of the cross. And that death on the cross that Jesus died, honoring his Father, was for us sinners who have not perfectly honored our father and mother. When we hear the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, we're not to think, well, good, I've always done that. I always honor my parents. No, we're not to think like that. That would be like standing in front of a mirror when you're all filthy and dirty with your eyes closed so that you don't see in the mirror how dirty you are. So open your eyes and look in the mirror that is God's law, God's commandments, and see how you compare with the perfection of the commandment and with Jesus Christ's perfect obedience to it. See in that mirror your wretched condition. In Adam, the first man, you did not honor the very Creator who gave you life. And then you were conceived in your mother's womb, not honoring your father and your mother. You were born not honoring your father and your mother. You grew up not honoring your father and your mother. And you have not honored your father and your mother as you should have done ever since, all the way to this day. But Jesus Christ, the only man ever to honor his father and mother perfectly, died on that cross to take the punishment that we deserved for dishonoring our father and mother. His blood paid the price for us to be rescued. His blood also now is, in effect, the spiritual soap and water for washing us from the guilt of what we've done toward our father and mother, and so ultimately toward God. So when you see that the commandment pronounces you guilty. Don't claim innocence. Instead, repent. Turn from that sin of dishonoring your father and mother and all your sin to follow Jesus Christ in obedience to all God's commandments. Believe in Jesus Christ. Trust yourself to Him and to Him alone. And when you do, God will count Christ's obedience for you. You will be washed clean from the guilty stains of your disobedience. And that instead of the eternal death that you deserve, you will have the sure hope of eternal life. Having that forgiveness for all your breaking of God's commandment, knowing that great love that God has poured out like He has through Jesus Christ our Savior, then hear the commandment with new ears. Not with the old ears that disregarded the commandment, not with the old ears that thought you had already obeyed the commandment, but with new ears that delight in the commandment. And ask the Lord's help and observe all the things our Lord has commanded, returning toward Him the love He has so richly shown to us. Honor thy father and thy mother begins our study of the second table of the law. The Lord Jesus said, Matthew chapter 22, the Lord Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Because of that, and the obvious way they're organized in Exodus chapter 20, we understand that the commandments are, in effect, in two parts. Because they were written on two tables, then we call two tables of stone or tablets of stone, we then refer to them as the two tables of the law. You know that already. I'm just reviewing it to bring it fresh to your mind. The first four commandments, dealing more directly with our love for God, although also touching on love for our fellow men. The second table, then, dealing more directly with love for our fellow men, although, of course, still ultimately and based on love for God. We understand the Ten Commandments to be organized that way, according to those two great commandments about loving God and loving other people or loving our neighbor. And our Lord Jesus Himself identified honor thy father and thy mother as belonging to the second table of the law. And in the same breath, He is rightly understood as being part of expounding love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm referring to Matthew chapter 19. Why don't I pause there for a minute so that anyone who wants to look that up can look it up and see it with your own eyes. Matthew 19, verses 18 and 19. This is where the Lord Jesus is speaking to the young man who came to Him thinking he could work his way to heaven by obeying commandments enough. And the Lord Jesus quoted commandments to him. And hear how Jesus quoted them. Matthew 19, verse 18. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There the Lord Jesus very clearly was including honor thy father and thy mother with the commandments of the second table and was summarizing them with thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So if there's ever any question, honor thy father and thy mother belong in the first table or in the second table? It really does belong in the second table. But that's not to mean that the commandments in the second table have nothing to do with loving God. Of course they do. All of them are, you know, if you were to say more, and the Bible, of course, does say more, you know, then it's, thou shalt not kill your fellow man because of something about God. Honor thy father and thy mother, your fellow men, because of something about God. So the second table still relates to him, just that it's more immediately about our fellow men. So honor thy father and thy mother begins our study of the second table of the law, the matters that comprise love thy neighbor as thyself. Honor thy father and thy mother is a very brief statement at the head of a whole category of things. Honor thy father and thy mother is a very brief commandment comprehending all righteousness and sin in a whole group of things. It certainly means exactly what it says, but by implication, it commands many other things also. You remember that from learning how we interpret the Ten Commandments in general. Throughout the Bible, we see expounding of the Ten Commandments, and through the centuries, the theologians have set this down, helping us understand. You can go review that if you want to in, for example, the Westminster Larger Catechism, or even the Baptist Catechism is much, much shorter. You can see this in principle, these things about the Ten Commandments in general and about each of them. In the affirmative commandments, like we have here, where this commandment doesn't tell us thou shalt not. It tells us what we shall do. And in the affirmative commandments, the most basic, the most obvious duty is mentioned to represent all requirements in that category. In this aspect of dealing with other people, what is the most basic, the most obvious, the most fundamental thing? It's to honor your own father and your own mother. But then it also implies everything else that is essentially the same, but not as fundamental or obvious. It also, of course, at this affirmative commandment, it implies the corresponding negative and prohibits all sins in that whole category of things. You know that the Word of God is perfect. God knows that it is better for us to have the commandment phrased as honor thy father and thy mother than it would have been for him to say thou shalt not dishonor thy father and thy mother. But the fact that it is in the affirmative applies also the negative, and those that are in the negative imply also the affirmative. In this commandment, the whole scope of righteousness in this whole category of things is commanded, is required. Not as to outward obedience only. Outward obedience, honoring in ways that you can see that are known? Yes, definitely. As to outward obedience, yes. But also inward obedience is required. What goes on inside your own affections, inside your own thoughts, is also required. Then similarly, sin is forbidden outward, yes, definitely. Outward, obvious, known dishonoring is forbidden, but inward dishonoring also is forbidden. Dishonoring even inside yourself where no one else knows. Our actions are governed by this commandment. We are required to honor, prohibited from dishonoring as to the things we do, but also the things we say and the things we think. Now this category of which honor thy father and thy mother is the head is how we treat other people by their position relative to ourselves. I can't really stop halfway through that statement and have it be specific enough to describe this commandment. I can't really say the category that we're dealing with here in this commandment is how we treat other people. Because the whole second table, all the commandments of the second table, are all about how we treat other people. This commandment, the category it covers is how we treat other people by their position relative to ourselves. Their position relative to ourselves. To take this from something very simple and obvious, I'll look at these two young men sitting right here and see how they have a position relative to each other. And then you are somewhere else in the room. Your position is different relative to them than theirs is to each other. And then here I am. My position to them, relative to them, is different from your position relative to them. We have in this room, physically, as to where we're sitting or standing, position relative to each other. Well, as we go through this life as human beings, we deal with other human beings, and we deal with them a lot of times according to what position we are in and what positions they are in. How we deal with them is necessarily the same in some ways and different in other ways. There are ways in which we human beings are all in the same position, but then there are ways in which we are in different positions relative to one another. For example, my father and I would be in the same position relative to the state governor. But then I would be in a different position relative to my father than I am to my brother. My mother would be in a different position relative to her husband, my father, than she would be to me, her son. We are in different positions relative to one another. This commandment deals with the whole category of duties and sins that come in when we need to treat other people according to their position relative to ourselves. Now, the most obvious foundational thing in this is to our own father and mother. And therefore, the head of the category is honor thy father and thy mother. But the category is all matters about how we treat other people considered by their position relative to ourselves. Honor thy father and thy mother begins our study of the second table of the law, the matters that comprise love thy neighbor as thyself. Honor thy father and thy mother is the head of the whole category of laws that govern our behavior toward other people based on their position relative to ours. Now, what it means to honor, we're being here commanded to do something, to honor, we really need to know essentially what that is. Consider it with me first in the Hebrew and Greek words in which this comes to us in the original of the Bible. It comes to us in the Hebrew, and then in the time of the New Testament, the Lord Jesus and others quote it, and so it comes to us in the Greek also. So we have the Hebrew and the Greek scriptures to deal with. In the Hebrew, the word at root means weight, heavy. So for something to have weight or to be heavy. And so to honor in verb form means to consider something as weighty, to give it weight, to think of it as being heavy. We have this in English, just like they had in Hebrew, similar to that in Hebrew. We talk about some matter being a weighty matter. Now, boy, that's a weighty matter. Or we talk about taking something lightly, or taking somebody lightly, taking somebody's opinion lightly. Even though actual matters of weight or mass, how many pounds or kilograms it is not really what we're talking about. We still talk about something as being weighty or giving weight to something, or something being light or taking something lightly. And so the Hebrew word at root suggests considering something to be weighty. Now, you know from your common experience how important it is to reckon correctly whether something is heavy or light. You know what it is like, probably from your experience, to go to pick something up thinking that it's an empty box, only to find out that it's a full box. And you might give a tug on the thing without proper positioning of your body, thinking it's just something empty, or for other reason thinking it's light, and then find that it's quite heavy, and you can find yourself with back pain or cold muscle or some lesser consequences. We know that that's important. It has in those very small matters of everyday life. Then, of course, in big matters, you know, hauling of heavy equipment and other things like that, it is very important rightly to consider how heavy something is. We know that from life. And that is more or less the idea that comes from the Hebrew word. To consider it heavy. To consider it weighty. To give weight to something. To reckon it as weighty or substantial. Now, the Greek word is pretty close to that, tied in a way, but distinct, and it means to consider something valuable, to prize something, to value something highly, to ascribe to it a lot of worth. Let me give an illustration that would come right from this room. You know that we have a worship bulletin when we come in. Just and you know, after we use them for worship during this hour, they have very little worth anymore. They get thrown in the trash, sometimes left on the floor or on the seat. They are just of very little value. I know that occasionally they might be useful as paper airplane construction materials, might be useful for something else, but they are essentially worthless or of very little value, a used church bulletin. But, you know, a used church bulletin might fall on the floor right down there, but then again, somebody putting a $100 bill in the offering box might miss the little slot or something and have it fall on the floor right there next to it. Well, you know that the value of a church bulletin is very little. The value of a $100 bill is quite high. Not as high as it used to be, but still quite high. And so you understand the difference between prizing something or not prizing something. Thinking that something has no value or little value, or thinking that something has value, has a lot of value. And so when in the New Testament this commandment is quoted, honor thy father and mother, then a word is used that means essentially to value highly, to prize. Now, those things are connected, I think, by the practice of having gold and silver and copper as your money, which in our society here with the government we have and the policies they've had the roughly last 50 years or so, we don't have gold and silver and copper as our money. But it's been very common in the history of the world, including in Bible times, to have gold and silver and copper as your money. So then, if it is heavier, if it has more weight, then of course it is more valuable. It's worth more. We lose track of that with fiat currency. You know, here's a piece of paper with a 1 on it, and in the other hand, an identical piece of paper, it just has the number 20 on it, and so it's 20 times more valuable, but it's 0 times heavier. But when you have precious metals as your currency, then I think you get this much easier, and it's easy enough for you all to think about it. So the idea behind these Hebrew and Greek words is that you consider something heavy or weighty, and then at the same time consider it valuable or of worth. So there's something that we can gain from the actual words. Now, I'll read for a moment from 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we'll get help from seeing some statements of what is the opposite of to honor. You know how we do that all the time. We understand a lot of what something is by saying what it's not, what it's essentially the opposite of. And here we have something like this. I'm thankful for these things in the Bible. The Lord has put them there on purpose, of course, and this is one of the part of the usefulness of such things. You might in future be helped by looking for such things in the Bible. If you want to know what's meant by something, there's often opposite statements in the Bible showing what it's the opposite of, and then you can be helped to know. 1 Samuel 2:30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor. Now, this is our Hebrew word from honor thy father and thy mother in the commandment, okay? So you see, we're getting to the use of the word honor. God saying, them that honor me, I will honor. That's absolutely just. Very easy to see the justness of that and to feel it. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. They that despise me. So here we have, to honor is the opposite of to despise. So if you have experience with the idea of despising something or despising someone, which is something like looking down on it as if it's beneath you and of no concern to you and you don't want it, you don't care about it, to despise something is the opposite of to honor something or someone. And then the next one, lightly to esteem. Now, the Hebrew word right there is at root the word light, having little weight. So here we have the Lord saying, in effect, using a word that says, if he considers me weighty, I will consider him weighty. But if he despises me, I will take him lightly. So we see here in one of these phrases a validation of the idea that we're right in thinking part of the idea of to honor is to treat somebody as weighty, because God says the opposite is to treat somebody, to take somebody lightly. And we are able to see that it's right to think of honoring as valuing highly, because the opposite to despise is basically to look down on as if it's of no value to you. So I'm still working with you on what it means to honor. And working from these things we've seen here in the scriptures and some other thoughts about it, I put to you this concept that to honor is to make, to honor a person, is to make a correct evaluation of that person. To honor a person is essentially to make a correct evaluation of a person. Now, there are different criteria by which you might evaluate a person. His natural abilities, his accomplishments, things like that. You know, what he's done, what he's capable of doing, what he looks like. There are different criteria for evaluating a person. But the commandment specifies one criterion in particular, a person's position. To make a correct evaluation of a person according to his position. Because, of course, the commandment means nothing like honor thy father if he's big, strong, good-looking, talented, and accomplished. But don't bother honoring him if he's not. No, it means nothing like that. It means honor thy father because he is thy father. Honor your father because in relation to your position, his position is he's your father. So whereas there are many criteria by which we may evaluate someone, make an evaluation of a person, the one at issue here is the person's position. What is his weight? What is his value reckoned by his position? Making a correct evaluation of that person. But not, of course, by just men's standards. To do this, to honor in the sense described here, is to agree with God as to the weightiness or value of a person's position relative to yourself. It's not just to take whatever occurs to you naturally, or whatever the culture is telling you, or whatever somebody told you, or whatever you read in some blog post, and then make a merely human and carnal judgment about someone. No, it is to learn what God has to say in the Bible, and then to agree with God as to the weightiness or value of a person in his position relative to yourself, and so then to make a truly correct evaluation of a person, and then, of course, to act toward that person accordingly. It is that we must make an evaluation of the person, but then we must act on that evaluation. Of course, to honor thy father and thy mother does not stop at, well, I think they're really important because they're my parents, but then to act like they're not important. Of course, it's not that. It's to make that right valuation, but then also to act accordingly. Honor thy father and thy mother begins our study of the second table of the law the matters that comprise love thy neighbor as thyself. Honor thy father and thy mother is the head of a whole category of laws that govern our behavior toward other people based on their position relative to ourselves. Honor thy father and thy mother means to agree with God as to the weightiness or value of a person in his position, and to act accordingly. Now, how is that done? How do we honor? When we have made that correct evaluation and we go to act accordingly, how do we act accordingly? I'll turn to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, therefore right before Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi 1, starting in verse 6. Now, this is God speaking by the prophet Malachi to the Israelites in a state of disobedience and lack of faith toward God. Malachi 1:6, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. Honors. Catch that the discourse here is about honor. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. Get that the subject under discussion here is essentially what we're working with in the fifth commandment. Honoring over against despising. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Notice that if the question is, how have we despised you, we'll also be getting an answer to, how do we honor? Since those are opposites. Verse 7, ye offer polluted bread on mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if he offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Because, you know, we're only in that sacrificial system. People were only allowed to offer to God animals that had no defect. They couldn't be blind or lame or sick or anything like that. offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. An argument from the lesser to the greater, that your governor being much lesser than God. Ask yourself, if you're supposed to, let's say, for example, you're supposed to serve a meal to the governor. And what if you give him, you know, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich where the peanut butter and jelly are put on really thin and the bread is kind of stale and you've taken a bite out of it already? Will the governor think that's great and he'll commend you for it and accept you for it? No, of course not. Just try fixing a meal for the governor, and it's made out of the scraps and worst grade of food. He won't accept that. He won't commend you for that and think that's okay. And that's just your governor. This is God we're talking about. And so in this, you can, you know, get some ideas about honoring in terms of giving or paying. Some are due from us something that we should give. But if it's our duty, then of course it's not just a gift. We are paying what we owe if it's our due. Some are owed something by us. Now, as I said, this is according to the word of God, not according to man. All kinds of people might think that you owe them something, right? All kinds of people, your own parents or somebody else, might tell you it's your duty to pay them something or give them something, when really it's not according to the word of God. You have to make these judgments by the word of God, or else you could end up, you know, falling for anybody who requires you to pay them anything. But by the word of God, it does say that we owe payment to some people by virtue of their position relative to ours. We'll look into that more, God willing, in future sermons. But just to, you know, mention the prime example, it says in the Bible that when our parents get very old and unable to care for themselves, then we care for themselves, and the Bible's terminology is, and so repay our parents. If in the position relative to our parents, if our parents, when they are very old, get very sickly and are unable to take care of themselves, then honoring involves giving or paying something. That's very easy to corrupt. You have to deal with that according to the word of God, not according to the word of man. So then I honor a person by giving or paying to him whatever in a person in my position owes to a person in his position. But what if somebody owes me something, really should give or pay me something, but then when he tries to, I despise it. I won't accept it. I treat him as if he's wrong in that. Well, then I'm not honoring. So honoring, I actually honor a person by receiving from him whatever a person in my position is due from a person in his position. What if 10 or 20 years from now, Grammy and I get unable to do for ourselves? And what if our grown kids or our grandkids tried to do for us, and then we just made a fuss and wouldn't let them? Well, then, see, we wouldn't be honoring either. The honoring is to go both ways. The honoring from one position to another then also is reciprocated according to our relative position. So giving or paying. That's how to honor, if the Word of God says so, not just if man says so. And then, very obviously, speaking. I honor a person by speaking about him as is appropriate for someone in my position to speak about someone in his position. And of course, refraining from speaking anything that someone in my position should not be speaking about someone in his position. Speaking about someone else. Speaking to someone else. I honor a person by speaking to him as is fitting for someone in my position to speak to someone in his position. And then, of course, it goes both ways. Actually, I said that in such a way as that it already goes both ways. And then I honor a person by listening and hearing him when he speaks to me, as is fitting for someone in my position to be spoken to by someone in his position. You understand, it's honoring both ways. So giving or paying is one of the ways in which the Bible teaches us to honor. Speaking to and about someone is another way in which we honor or potentially dishonor. And then submitting. I honor a person by submitting myself to him if he is in a position of authority over people in my position. There's a lot of this in the way God has set things up for us. Some of them, which I won't say more about that. That'll be, God willing, for another time. But you know, there's a position that's over and a position that's under. When I actually observe that, when I think like that and live like that, then I am submitting. I am sending myself under or arranging myself under when that is, according to the Word of God, appropriate. When my position is indeed under the position of someone else, then I submit to that. I agree with that. I live like that. And then I honor that person over me when I submit myself to him because of his position over my position. And then, of course, I honor a person by exercising authority over him if he is in a position under me. You know, the honor, again, is to go both ways. Yes, the one who's under is to submit to the one who's over, but then the one who is over is to exercise the authority that he has by virtue of that position. Failing to exercise that authority is dishonoring to the one who is under authority. You could take this for parents and children, the most obvious and foundational. Yes, to honor the father, the child needs to submit to the father. But to honor the child, the father needs to exercise authority over the child. It's no honor done by the father to that child to just, you know, be in some way lazy or in some way abusive, and so in one of those ways not exercise his God-given authority over the child. I then honor a person by doing neither of those things to him if his position is neither over nor under mine. There are many, many people who are just simply in the same position I'm in the same position you're in, and neither trying to usurp authority over someone when you don't legitimately have it by position, nor trying to get somebody else to take responsibility for what you're really responsible for because you're really in the same position. Neither one of those things is honoring, but it's honoring when I do not try to get someone to submit to me or submit myself to him and make him do it. If we are essentially in the same position. So how to honor, giving or paying, speaking, submitting. There are other things also. Maybe that would be a fruitful discussion. Those are the things that that were obvious to me, and I think there are probably more, and we could talk that over. Honor thy father and thy mother is the beginning to our study of the second table of the law, the matters that comprise love thy neighbor as thyself. Honor thy father and thy mother is the head of a whole category of laws that govern our behavior toward other people based on their position relative to ourselves. Honor thy father and thy mother means to agree with God as to the weightiness or value of a person's position and to act accordingly. Honor thy father and thy mother is done by giving or paying to someone, speaking of or to someone, submitting to someone as is appropriate for someone in my position relative to his. So then, what of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We already observed earlier that as to the honoring of his father and mother, he has done that perfectly all the time and is the ultimate example of it. But what about our honoring of him? What of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Yes, he is God. Make no mistake about that. He is divine. So we love him according to the first table of the law. We obey the first four commandments with reference to him. We obey them as commandments from him and about him. But he is also man. He is human as well as divine. He's the only person like that. So being man, we also love him according to the second table of the law. Honor thy father and thy mother is commandment to us also about how we deal with Jesus Christ as to his position relative to ours. We honor Jesus Christ, and we do so not just outwardly, but inwardly. We honor Jesus Christ not just as to the letter of the law and the minimum that that specifies, but also as to all that the spirit of the law implies. And we agree with God as to the weightiness or value of Jesus Christ. We agree that he, being Christ, is the greatest treasure in all the universe, that his position as Christ, which involves him being both Savior and Lord, is the most exalted position of all. And so we honor our Lord Jesus Christ as the one man who is over us in all things. We pay or give to him whatever he requires of us. Not what we might imagine he requires or somebody said was required, but what the Bible actually says is required. We speak of him and we speak to him according to what is true of him and reflective of our position relative to his. And we submit to him in all things. We submit to him in all things over which he has been appointed head. which is all things, period. We submit to Him in all things. Then, honoring Jesus Christ as the highest authority, the one that is over everything, we also honor our father and mother, and we seek to do everything else that the commandment implies unto Him as the head over it all, and following His great example, the one who has done it all perfectly. Amen. Let's pray about that.